All right, y'all, we are walking through the book of Acts. Last week, we ended in Acts 8:25. This morning, guess what? We are starting in Acts 8, verse 26. So if you got your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Also encourage you, if you got one of these when you came in, it's going to be super helpful. You're going to want a bulletin. We're going to want you to follow along. You're going to want to take notes. If you did not get one of these, cool. I have digital notes. I like them better. I am not a great speller, okay? It's out there. It's there, okay? I pay for the professional version of whatever that thing is where it like highlights everything and tells you like you didn't pass fifth grade, okay? That's what I do. I do it every week, and you should join me in it. It's great. So scan the digital notes, get the QR code up on the screen, and I think there's a QR code on the screen unless we are frozen, and we might be frozen. And that's okay. That means they are struggling to reset that computer. And it's going to happen by the time that we do what we're about to do. So here's what I want to do. Before we jump into God's Word, we are spending some time reflecting on the work that God has been doing in our church and in the life of our students. And so they came back from youth camp two Sundays ago, and we've heard from one of them every Sunday so far. And so we've got another one this morning. This is Jackson Malik. What's up, Jackson? All right, Jackson, you are going to be a
senior
at Elgin High School, play a bunch of sports, love the Lord. We baptized you here. Tell us what God taught you at camp this year, brother.
First of all, hello, church. Obviously, my name is Jackson, and I will be sharing my church camp testimony. This year was my third year going, and I was really excited. However, the last 2 years of church camp, it was easy for me to feel the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. And at church camp this year, after a couple of times of worship and classes about the gospel, I could not feel the Holy Spirit, and I genuinely felt internally distracted by the sin, stress, and anxiety waiting for me at home. And one of the best things I did was talk about it to my leaders and some fellow students. They showed me it was a safe place and that I am not alone. They helped me soften my heart up to pray about it when I felt so lost, like I've had a drive and motivation for the Lord in the past, and it felt like I couldn't find it. And so I prayed for the Lord to help me see. It wasn't until one of the last days where I was abruptly seeing the Lord pour his presence onto my friends and everyone around us. The way the Holy Spirit took control in ways you would never expect. The Holy Spirit took control in ways you would never expect, helping us see was truly impactful, not only to me, but to literally everybody. God has truly shown me this year that community is so important because we can't do this on our own, and that as a community, we can't let church or Bible studies be the only times we have with the Lord, but to also realize our personal relationship with him and to have the community of accountability since iron sharpens iron.
Y'all, I don't know if you catch the gravity of this, but last three Sundays, we've had high school students stand up in front of 260, 270, 300 people and give testimonies. That's powerful. Amen. That's powerful. And God's moving. If you have a student, I want you to know about our program. They're going to meet right after this service. We have a thing called YSM, Youth Sunday Morning, where they're going to learn more about the Bible, sit around tables, encourage one another. During the school year on Wednesday nights, we have a program called Thrive, middle school through high school. It's amazing. Your kids should be at it, so we want to invite you to those things, okay? Guys, we're going to pray. Are you ready? All right, let's bow our heads. You started off. You know how this goes, okay? Bow your head where you are. I'm going to ask you to pray first. Simple prayer. You're praying for yourself. Pray this simple prayer. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Now, if you'll take a moment and pray for those seated around you. God, please speak to them. And then kindly, I would ask that you would take a moment and you would pray for me. And you would pray that God would speak through me. Father, we thank you for the ability to gather in your house. Jesus, we recognize all that you've done for us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move in power in our minds and our hearts, that you'd take your place in the pulpit here. You would be the teacher of our church. You would teach us about the things of God from the inside out. You would bring about genuine change. Jesus, it is in your name that we ask all of these things, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Guys, we are in the book of Acts. I said we're starting in verse 26. Here is what the word of the Lord says. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and he went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem, and he was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else? And Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Excuse me. All right. So guys, last week we met Philip, right? And before that, we remember the stoning of Stephen. A great persecution breaks out, and we met this young man named Saul, who's approving of it all. And then last week we learned that this guy Saul is actually now persecuting the church. In fact, it says he was trying to tear the church apart. It's a word used to how an animal tears apart its prey. But everywhere that Saul scattered the church, we said God planted the church. And one of those original seven deacons, a guy named Philip, ends up in Samaria. And there in Samaria, he begins telling people about Jesus. And the whole city experiences a great revival. There's healing, lame people are walking, demons are being cast out. And it ends by saying this in Acts 8:8. That there was great joy in that city. There's great joy in that city. So Philip is literally, now, and it was a big deal. So Philip is kind of pastoring a whole revival in an entire city, and then God tells him something disturbing. Well, it'll be disturbing for us. Hard to understand. How about that? God tells him something hard to understand. That's what we're going to talk about this morning in the text that we've just read. So three things I want to share with you, church. Here's the first. I want you to know that when God says go, obedience matters more than understanding. When God tells us to go, obedience matters more than understanding. And so, again, Philip is in the middle of a revival. People are coming to know Christ. Guys, it's such a movement of God that the apostles that are in Jerusalem, they come to Samaria to check on it. They're like, oh my gosh. I mean, God is moving. It's revival. The whole city is full of joy. And then God says something to Philip in the midst of it. He says, go. Literally, verse 26, an angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So, pinnacle of ministry, then the angel of the Lord says, go south down to Gaza. Now, there's an interesting footnote here included. It says, this is the desert road. What does that mean? Well, at this point in history, there are two roads to Gaza, okay? The original city of Gaza was an inland city. Well, guess what? It was destroyed along with four other cities in about 100 BC. Okay, let's just call it that roughly. I think it was like 96 BC. But anyway, so first century BC, it's destroyed. Okay, so they rebuild it. But when they rebuild it, they say, no, we want to move it to the coast. So they relocate the city of Gaza, and it becomes a seaside city, now known as New Gaza or Gaza by the Sea. So there are two roads to Gaza. There's one to the new Gaza, or Gaza by the Sea. Sounds like Caesar's Palace. And then there's another one that goes to the old one that's destroyed, basically to the middle of nowhere. So here is the call of God for Philip. I want you to leave a thriving ministry, and I want you to go to a place that doesn't make sense. I want you to go literally to a desert road, the town's in ruins. This is what I'm calling you to do. Now, can we put on the Philip cap for a second? Does that make sense at all? Is there anything in your human nature that wants to go, sure, yeah, can't wait. God, I know. There's nothing in that. And yet the text says he goes. He obeys. How do we do that? How do we step into the plans of God when we can't see the plans of God and we don't understand all the details? That's what faith is about. Faith is believing what we hope for. It's belief without seeing, not knowing all the details, yet obeying God and stepping into what God calls us to. This is the heartbeat of faith. Now, I'll tell you what his work for me in the past, and I secretly, you ever read the text and you kind of imagine and wonder some things? So I'm wondering if Philip on his way is meditating on God's word. Have you ever done that in moments of difficulty in your life? That you're trying to figure stuff out and you're like, Lord, I know you're my strength and my shield. God, I know that you'll never leave me or forsake me. I just wonder if he's praying as he's going. He's like, what am I doing? He's like, Lord, I wonder if he thought about the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 55. Lord, your ways are not my ways, and neither are your thoughts my thoughts. God, I'm going to trust you. I just wonder, because just in our Bibles, it would just be two chapters earlier that he's eventually going to meet this man who is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. It'd just be two chapters earlier, Isaiah 53. I don't know that to be true. That's not mentioned anywhere. That's just my imagination. I think it'd be cool. What I do know is that Philip obeys. When it doesn't make sense, he obeys. And church, I want to say this to you this morning. It matters, especially for those of you that are a little younger in the faith. God is going to call you to do some things in your life that you will not understand. He's going to call you to do some things in your life that, quite frankly, you do not want to do. And listen, when he does, he is not necessarily going to explain himself to you, nor should he have to, because he is the God of the universe. You following me? And our call is to what? To trust and obey. To trust and obey. Philip couldn't see the meeting that God had planned, but God knew what was coming. This eunuch, by the way, and I just give you a little bit of history, there is a church, you can go Google it later, it's called the EOTC Church, or the Eastern Orthodox Tawindo Church, or the Ethiopian Orthodox Tawindo Church. They say that this moment is where their church is birthed. That this eunuch that goes back to Ethiopia is the beginning. That he goes back, they have his name. They're like, this is his name. He came back, started telling people about Jesus. Then 4th century came even more people evangelizing. Our church blew up. That church today, excuse me, has about 60 million members. 60 million members. And they trace it to this moment in history. You following me? God's not always going to tell us what. He's not always going to fill in the details. Our job is to hear the voice of the Lord and to choose to obey. So I want to ask you a question this morning. I've got two versions of it, okay? I've got the cleaned up nice version, and then I have the rough around the edges version. I'm going to give you the cleaned up nice version first, okay? This one sits easy with us. You might write this down. Here's the question. Where is God asking you to trust him right now? Where is God asking you to trust him right now? That's the cleaned up version. Here's the little rougher around the edges version. Where in your life are you demanding an explanation for God before you obey right now? Is it forgiveness? Well, God, I need that person to do X and Y and Z, and then if they, then maybe I will. Is it forgiveness? Is it serving? Well, Lord, if that person will come to me and say, oh, how I need thee, oh, how I need thee, evermore I need thee, then I will consider stepping into it. Is it baptism? You're like, well, I believe in the Lord. But I don't know. God's really going to have to show me what happens. If there's a life that you're demanding explanation from God before you obey him, that's a problem. And here's the last question. What if God is waiting on your obedience before he shows you what he's doing? Just let it set. What if God is waiting on your obedience before he shows you? So I want to give you a little story. Most of you don't know the person I'm going to talk about because most of you have been here within the last 3 years, okay? We hired a youth minister in 2010. His name was Franklin Carr, right before COVID hit. Love Frank. Frank's one of the funnest guys you will ever meet. Franklin, COVID was rough. Got married, had immediate family, like stuff. So we're about to enter this new building. I mean, we're about to enter it. We are 3 months out of entering it, and we're working with Franklin on kind of vision and plan and for what youth ministry will look like in this building. And he's struggling. Struggling like I've never seen him struggle before. So having one-on-one meetings, two-on-one meetings, Pastor John Patterson, our executive pastor, that we're meeting together. And one day, Franklin just begins to cry. He's weeping now. He says, I think maybe I can't get this because God told me to go to Waco a year ago. On the way back from camp, he said, go to Waco. That's all he said. He said, I don't know what that means. I don't know, but I've been wrestling with it because I want to see this through. I feel like I'm not being faithful. I feel like I've had to do this. Now listen, this is horrible timing for us as a church. His last Sunday was our first Sunday in this new. This is not how I plan. Nobody's planning this out on paper. By the way, I called Franklin to make sure I could share this story. Okay. Not throwing anybody under the bus. And part of it, he's like, I don't know. I don't know what we'll do there. I don't know how the Lord is provide. And I just said to him in love, I said, brother, I love you. But God has been calling you for a year to go. And you've been refusing and you're struggling. Do you think you need to just say yes and let him handle all those details? So I called Franklin this week. I said, here's the passage I'm preaching. It's a difficult passage. It's hard. Can I just mention, would you mind shooting me a text and let me know all the ways the Lord has blessed you after you say yes? It wouldn't fit in text, y'all. He sent me a 6.5-minute voicemail recording of all the ways the Lord has shown up with his family, with job, with provision, with houses, with relationships, with men, like, right? Sometimes God is waiting for our obedience before he shows us what he's doing. Okay, that's first. Number two. All right. we gotta book it now. Divine appointments often require divine effort. All right, that's second lesson. I want you to know divine appointments often require divine effort. Okay, here we go. So an angel of the Lord says to Philip, go. He goes. That one's pretty straightforward. But then he goes and he's waiting. And then the Spirit of the Lord says to Philip, now go and run up to that chariot. That's verse 29. The Spirit tells Philip, go and join that chariot. And the text says he runs up to it. Okay, I love you guys. We pray for divine appointments around here, all right? But sometimes I think we think that divine appointments are supposed to be easy. We're like, Lord, I prayed for it. God's going to provide the opportunity, and like I'm going to slip and it happened, right? And so I just want to say to you, just notice what God has done. God has sent Philip and got him there. God, at the right time of day, has this person that is going to be returning back to Ethiopia. Thank you. Has this person, like God's done all the hard work. This person is also reading from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant who is God's solution to our sin problem. All of this God has set up, yet he still has to say to his servant, go and run. I love you. But if you think divine appointments require no effort, you are wrong. Divine appointments require divine effort. You still got to run. And do you notice in the text what happens? So Philip has to run up to the chariot. And it does not say that the chariot has stopped moving. And so now he's next to the chariot and he's listening in. And chariots aren't quiet, y'all. There's horses and there's wheels and there's sound. And so he's listening in somehow. I wonder what he's... And during the running, somehow now he is hearing that this man is reading from the Word of God. And he's like, sir, hey, hello, hey, do you know what you're reading? And the guy finally... It says, eventually invites him on board. Some point, never says that the chariot stops before that moment. That divine appointment required divine work. And I'm afraid sometimes those of us that are praying for it don't realize the amount of effort that it takes to have those divine encounters with God that He has planned in advance for us to have. You guys following me? Okay. Sometimes we got to run. God sets it all up. We still got to run. Last thing. Okay. Here we go. I want you to know that genuine faith should result in joyful obedience. This is going to look good on camera. All right, we're going to tie the shoe. Don't want to trip. Genuine faith should result in joyful obedience. So God sets this whole thing up. I mean, all of it. He calls Philip from this thriving ministry out to the middle of nowhere. Here comes the eunuch. He's reading from the text about the suffering servant. And then like from right there, Philip's going to start sharing the gospel with him. So he's explaining, hey, who you're reading about is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, eternal. He became God in the flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. And listen, He took the penalty for our sin upon Himself. By His wounds, we are healed. This is God's solution, the Messiah, spoken about in Genesis 3, all through the Old Testament. He's the sacrificial Lamb of God that John declared. His blood had to be shed as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. At some point, this guy receives the gospel, and they come to water, and he's like, why should I not be baptized right now? Right? His immediate, I've accepted Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to be part of the family of God. And it starts in that moment. It's joyful. It's immediate. Listen, many people are not familiar with Baptist life. And we do this thing called believer's baptism. And people ask questions all the time. What is that about? And I was baptized when I was an infant. And does that count? And here's what we're going to say to you. As we study the New Testament, as we study this thing called the church, what we see time and time and time again is that the gospel must be proclaimed, that it must be received. Repentance is part of that receiving of the gospel. It's an end to self. I cannot do it. Jesus has done it for me. Jesus come into my life, take control of me. Salvation happens, and immediately it's, why should I not be baptized? Why should I not be baptized? In the New Testament church, my friends, there are not a lot of Christians running around that are unbaptized. But in the church today, you guys following me? It's too many. It's too many. Maybe you're here and you're one of those people, and that's okay. Every Sunday we have an opportunity that you can give your life to Jesus, that you could say to literally God's solution to your sin problem, like, I know I can't fix myself. I've been trying to do it for too long. Man, I'm so tired and weary of trying to be good enough for you, God, but I understand that you met the standard for me, that you became the person that had to be good enough, that Jesus, you met God's standard, and then you died in my place because the wages for my sin, what I deserve for my sin is death and eternal separation, but Jesus, you did it for me. I surrender to you and come into my life and change me and take control. Like, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the joy that comes with it. And so I want to challenge you this morning to do that. So let's talk about some application. I just have one thing, and I know I'm up against it, so I'm going to fly. There's just one application this morning, and it's this. I think this text would call us to learn to recognize God's voice and to obey Him when He speaks. To learn to recognize God's voice and to obey Him when He speaks. Now, listen, Philip has it pretty easy the first time around. Because an angel of the Lord says go, okay? You guys are thinking the same thing. You're like, yes, if an angel of the Lord told me to do it, I would do it, Pastor Jason. It's not the problem, okay? Yes, so the angel gets him to go, but who gets him to run? Come on, a little louder. We're whispering, church. Why are we whispering? Who? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. So then the question for us is, well, how do I know? Right? The question most believers have is, you're saying, wait, Jason, I have to learn how to hear the voice of God, and then I need to obey it. This is now my natural disposition. I say, yes. And you say, how do I know that? Right? Because I'm not having an angel show up and tell me what to do. So how do I know what God is telling me to do so that I might obey? I'm going to give you three ways. Number one is the Word of God. Number one, right here, I love you. So many people weekly will say to pastors, say, like, listen, I'm praying about such and such, and I don't know what to do. And most of the time, it's like, well, if you cracked this open, you'd see there's a direct command that speaks to what you're dealing with, right? So that's not trying to be mean. Just like a lot of that's covered, okay? Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to forgive them. Love your enemies and pray for them. What do you mean? If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. It's like really black, white, drives right there, right? I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm supposed to tell somebody about. Yes, you're supposed to tell somebody about the Lord. It's like right there. It's right there. So there's a lot that's just black and white. You guys follow me? So the Bible, first and foremost, that's how you know. The Bible is God's word. It's God's revelation to us. Hey, you guys can't understand me, so I'm going to teach you how to understand me. You guys follow me? So that's number one. Number two, prayer. Okay? Yes, you can talk to God. And guess what? He speaks back in prayer. You say, I don't understand that. That's good. Welcome to the club. Right? It's tough. It's not an audible voice. That's usually not it. But it is a very real breakthrough that when we pray, somehow our anxieties are replaced with peace. Right? When we pray, somehow the things that we were hanging on to get released. That when we pray, somehow the things that we were going, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, before we say amen, become, Lord, just whatever you want. Somehow, through prayer, God changes our minds and our hearts, sometimes result in actions. God speaks through prayer. It matters, right? So you gotta pray. Third, it's the Holy Spirit. Y'all, Jesus went to heaven for a reason. He said it would be better that he was not physically here with us. Can you imagine that? He's telling the people he loves, it is better for you that I am not physically here with you. I need to go away. Why? So I can send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. God dwelling in you, the reconciliation you've been longing for happening inside your chest. And he will be your teacher and your guide, your counselor. You guys follow me? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, again, this is not an audible voice. It's not a light from above, but it is a very real movement from within, right? Something comes to mind suddenly and persistently, and it aligns with God's mission and God's heart and God's call on our lives. Maybe like, hey, go call that person right now. It may be walk over there and pray for them. It may be circle your car back and help that person stuck on the side of the road. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. That can't be your pastor. That might get you killed. I'm just saying. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. Which brings up my point. This is the hard part. You go, wait a second. If the Spirit is one of the ways that God speaks to us, that makes me uncomfortable. Welcome to the New Testament. Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable too. Right? Which is why God says this. 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, don't believe every spirit. But you've got to test the Spirit. So because God is Spirit and has given us His Spirit and His Spirit guides us, we have to test the Spirit. This is part of being a Christ follower. And so now, and some people don't want that. They're like, I'm going to just set that stuff aside and just do this. You're missing out. I don't know what else to tell you. You're missing out on a Spirit-filled life. These guys, This unstoppable church, these people, they were committed to both. You follow me? They're committed to both. So how do you do that? We've got to test the Spirit. So very, very quick, listen. If whatever you are thinking or feeling contradicts Scripture, it is not from God. Period. Period. Exclamation mark. If it contradicts Scripture, here's your test. Not from God. If it leads you into sin, not from God. Write it down, okay? If it exalts you instead of him, not from God, okay? How we doing? If what you're hearing says withdraw or hide from God rather than run to him, not from God. You follow me? God, even in our sin, will convict us of our sin, right? That we will feel guilty but not ashamed, right? Because we are his heirs, and we now, that throne is the throne of grace. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So when I mess up, I do feel guilty, but that voice in my head that says, God can never use you. Look at you. You're nothing. You'll never be, get thee behind me, Satan. I know that ain't God, because my Father says, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My Father says to me, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just, and I will forgive you of your sins, and I will purify you of all unrighteousness. That is right here confirmed in his word. Okay? So you got to know, you've got to be able to test if that voice you're hearing is going to call you to advance God's mission. If it aligns with God's character, with your calling, with Scripture, then you obey. Okay? God's going to call you to do some things that do not make sense to you, and some things that, quite frankly, you don't want to do. That is what faith is about. He doesn't owe you an explanation, and if he gave you all the details, it wouldn't be faith. You follow me? We walk by faith and not by sight. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask these folks to dim the lights. I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but I want to have a moment here, because maybe the Lord is trying to speak to you right now. Maybe you are here and you are hearing these things and you're like, I feel like the God, like God is I feel like this person. I feel like I've tried to read the scriptures before and they haven't made sense before, but today you're saying that I can have a personal relationship with God. Today you're telling me all those scriptures point to Jesus is God's solution for my sin, and that all I have to do is believe in him, that he has lived the perfect life that I've been trying to, that I can't, that he's died in my place to pay the penalty for my sin, and all I have to do is believe and I can become a child of God. I'm saying yes. Today, will you hear the voice of the Lord that says, my child, come home. My child, put your faith in me. My child, be mine. Let's make heaven your home. If that's you today, nobody's looking around. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed right now. But if that's you today, and you're like, yeah, I want that. I want to be a child of God. Would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. But just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is me. I feel like God's talking to me right now, saying, let go, trust in me, believe in me. Anybody this morning? Hands in the air. Yeah. And here's, the Bible says, everyone that will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there is an exchange that has to happen, guys. I have to say to Jesus, I believe you're the one that came and lived for me and died for me. And I also believe that I can't meet God's standard. So God, I'm going to stop trying to earn salvation. And I'm going to instead start trusting that Jesus already has. So we're going to give up our old ways and we're going to exchange them from him. So if that's you and you'd like to pray with me this morning, let's pray this prayer. We'll pray out loud together. Dear God, I come to you right now. And God, I just admit, I am stuck, and that I can't clean myself up, and that it's not working. But Jesus, today I heard you've done it all for me, that you've met God's requirements, that you've paid the penalty for my sin. And I just want to say two things. One, I believe it, and two, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making a way that I could become a child of God. Please come into my life and take control and make me yours and teach me how to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen. Christians, the only people left is us. I'm just going to ask you one question, and I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to wrap things up. Again, if you just bow your head, some of you know you have been fighting. God's been calling you to an area that is unknown. You've kind of been demanding signs, whatever. I got to have this. I got to have that. You know that's you. You know you've been struggling, but today you've heard it, and you're like, I want to let go. I'm struggling, but Pastor, would you pray that I could let go? Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you stand up, but you need help trusting. Yeah. All right, we're just going to pray. Dear God, I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters that they would trust in you. God, that they wouldn't demand answers anymore, but that they would choose to walk in faith. Lord, I love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.